The World Cup with William Hill.
The Punt Daily Podcast. Listen at news.williamhill.com, on Audioboom, or subscribe by iTunes or your preferred podcast provider.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-place stats, best bets, and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on InPlay Radio.
Well, it's the morning after the pretty boring night before when England, of course, lost to Belgium and secured themselves the easier side of the World Cup draw. Derek McGovern has joined me on the line to have a look at this. The more important thing, though, Derek, is that it secures Sweden the easier side of the draw to get to the semi-finals, doesn't it?
Well, I was just looking at Sweden. 50-1 to win the World Cup. You look at that draw that they're in now, there isn't a tough team in it. Croatia may be the best that they'll meet. I can only assume that your odds compilers haven't been watching them. That game against Mexico was probably the performance of the tournament. There's one bet you're going to have now. Sweden at 50-1. Unbelievable.
Well, what price were they to get to the semi-finals when you put them up in the first podcast?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I thought I'd just drop it in.
16-1 to reach the semi-finals. Now, I'll tell you what. If you met a time traveller who could go in time, fast forward in time 2 weeks, well, he wouldn't have been able to come up with better tips than I did at the start of this tournament. You know that? Sweden 16-1 to get to the semis, looking a good bet now. Croatia 33-1 to win it. And, of course, the Germans 6-1 to go out. I'll take the plaudits now. Thank you, Lee.
Yeah, that Germany bet was inspired, Derek. I must admit, even after the second game, I thought, it's one of the nice bets where you get a little bit of a run for your money. And then, absolutely fair. Do you know what price Sweden had to reach semi-finals now, Derek?
Off the top. Please don't say the 16 still.
9-2.
9-2?
Yeah, Jesus to reach Christ. The semis. 20-1 to reach the final. 9-2 to reach the semi-finals. And 50-1 to win it, as you said. But
well, you know, in a tournament where there's not an outstanding team, they're in a gift half of the draw, and the 50-1 that really doesn't make sense. And another thing that doesn't make sense is Croatia are 4 points bigger in the betting than England are. How did you rate that one out? 11-1 Croatia, 7-1 England.
Are they the best team so far in the tournament? Do you think Croatia?
What I've seen, yeah, I would say so. Yeah, they've played within themselves, haven't they? I mean, Sweden wouldn't be if Sweden played Croatia tomorrow. I would struggle to pick a winner. Well, I do generally anyway. Don't underestimate the Swedes. It's one of my main tenets of football betting that. Don't never underestimate the Swedes. Nuts in short.
I think that's page... Is that page 73?
It's a chapter all on its own.
What I did realise when I saw those three bets that you mentioned, when I as we're going through this tournament, I'm thinking, it's finally dawned on me, Derek, that you're actually world class, and it's just the humdrum of the Premier League that you just can't be dealing with anymore. That's what's happened. As your career's progressed, you just become, truly international level.
Well, I'm like Tiger. I only get wake up for the majors now. The humdrum events. I'm just thinking, if those three bets all cop, I mean, would it make up for the 9 month nightmare I experienced in the Premier League?
I think it would, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine you're a shocking season all year in the Premier League, and then you go and win the World Cup. Of course, it makes up for it. You've just got to go and land them now.
Yes, well, one's there. One already weighed in.
Indeed, yeah. Let's have a look at the outrights. I mean, we've touched on some of the prices there in terms of winning the tournament. Brazil 7-2, Spain 4-1, England 7-1, obviously shortening after finishing second in the group. Belgium 7-1, France 9-1, Croatia 11s, Argentina 14s, Uruguay, still a lot of people talking about Uruguay, 22-1. Same price for Colombia, Portugal 25s, the Swiss are 40-1, Sweden 50s, Russia 50-1. Mexico 66s, Denmark 80s, and Japan the outsiders at 200-1. I mean, I know I don't expect Sweden to win the World Cup, but I mean, again, I'd put them ahead of Switzerland in the betting as well. There seems to be a couple of things in there. Obviously, England are kind of almost artificially short, Derek. So we can talk about England in a moment. So of the rest, you mentioned Croatia look a bit too big. What about France at 9-1? I mean, I know they're a collection of individuals, but they've got the quality in there to win this thing, haven't they?
Well, they have, but they haven't shown it in the three games so far. And you look what they've got to beat. They've got to beat Argentina, then probably Uruguay, and then Brazil, just to get to the final. I know I want a bigger price now. If they were If they were playing like you think they were capable of playing, then yeah. But we haven't seen it, have we? I mean, in a way, they've always, you know, almost as disappointing as the Germans were. No, I can't have France not with that draw. Put them in the other half of the draw, maybe you give them a squeak, but not with that. Not with that draw.
Who else stands out for you then? What about you giving Spain 2 short or 4-1?
Spain is they're probably the worst in the tournament's a bad bet. That is the worst bet of all time. That one. They're playing the hosts in the next round. Okay, Russia started off well. Probably come back to the field a little bit, but Spain, what have Spain done? They've been so poor. If Croatia played Spain, which they probably will do in the next round, I'd be on Croatia all day long. You know, Spain are ruled out, France ruled out for the reasons we just explained. Uruguay, similar reasons. They've got so many hard games to come, and I don't think they're capable of beating all those good teams in a run. You're looking for the team on the left hand side of the draw, the Brazil side of the draw. To come from, you know, you've got to make 3 hard matches to get to the semi-final. So in a way, to get to the final. In a way, you could argue that the team on the easier side of the draw, England's half, you know, they're going to have a big advantage come the final in Moscow on, when is it, July the 15th, because their route through has been so much easier.
Yeah, this is anyone who's kind of living under a rock, hasn't seen the matches, this is how it lines up in the round of 16. France versus Argentina, 3 o'clock on the 30th, on Saturday. Uruguay, Portugal, 7 o'clock. Croatia, Denmark and Spain, Russia are the matches on Sunday. Croatia, Denmark being the evening game. It's Belgium, Japan, the 7 o'clock match on the 2nd of July, that's Monday, and Brazil, Mexico at 3 o'clock. Then Sweden, Switzerland at 3 o'clock on the Tuesday, with Colombia, England rounding everything off at 7 o'clock on the Tuesday. Generally, Derek, I've been looking back, and you tend to find that these games tend to be a little bit lower scoring than the group stages. People tend to get a bit more cagey now, with obviously, you know, everything at stake and knockout football.
Yeah, you would imagine so. Yeah. But I mean, after 10 days of this World Cup, I thought it was probably the worst World Cup I'd ever seen. And then the Germans went out, and it's probably the best. No, but it's I don't think it can be as cagey as those opening games. Honestly, I thought a lot of them were unwatchable. And I kept hearing on the TV that, you know, what an amazing World Cup this is. And I'm thinking, am I watching something different? I think it will liven up, to be honest. And, you know, you're talking about teams coming from the left-hand side of the tough side. Yeah. Well, I say that, but Brazil, in a way, they've got Mexico in the next round, and then the winners of Belgium and Japan. Now, I know Belgium have got some great players in that team. I mean, you mentioned off earlier the bench they had against England the other night. You know, they've got they've got a strong squad, obviously. But you'd fancy Brazil to come through that. So maybe their route through isn't as bad as I've been making out for the likes of France, Argentina and Uruguay. At 7-2, Brazil are by far the most likely winners. But it's only 7-2, isn't it? And, you know, I still can't get away from these big prices for Sweden, 50-1. Just, you know, it's half 1-2, so you get 25-1 a place. Yeah, I like that.
What about the top goal scorer, Derek? You've got Harry Kane at 6-4. Romelu Lukaku at 4-1, Cristiano Ronaldo 9-2, Costa 8s, Lionel Messi 20-1, Neymar 20s, Suarez 33s, Coutinho, who's been fantastic in this tournament, 33s, has had 40s and 50-1, and bigger the rest of them. Harry Kane tops the tree at the moment with 5 goals, Lukaku with 4, Ronaldo's got 4, Costa's got 3. Chesiev has got 3 as well, Russian midfielder, maybe not going much further than that. Likes of Hazard's only got 2 goals at the moment, so it'd be a big surprise if he started to rack up kind of hat-tricks at this stage. You really have to fill your boots in the group stages, which Kane, Lukaku and Ronaldo have done.
Yeah. I've argued this many times, golden boots, it should not include penalties. Really, it shouldn't, should it? You know, Harry Kane's got 5 goals, 2 penalties and an absolute fluke. He'll probably win it now, 5 goals. I think 5 has been enough to win it a couple of times recently. I just don't agree. You're taking the penalties. It's a major, major advantage. I wouldn't put anybody off Lionel Messi at 20-1. That goal the other night, by the way, against Nigeria, what a goal that was. I don't think it's been appreciated as much as it should have been. There's only 2 players in the world who could have done that, him and me. unbelievable goal. And I wouldn't put anybody off backing him at 20-1, because he looks as though he's in the tournament now. And, you know, if Argentina went a long way, and I know they're playing France in the next round, that's a tough one, but if he went a long way, he'd go a long way on his goals. So if Kane is the most likely winner at 6-4, but I wouldn't put anybody off Leo at 20s.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this. I'm sure we have asked you this, but I'm guessing the answer from your previous response. Messi or Ronaldo?
Oh, I'm insulted you even asked that question. Really, really. I mean, I don't know. No, Messi by a zillion miles. Absolute zillion miles. I tell you what, I'd rather have Coutinho than Ronaldo. I'll put it that way.
Oh, come on, Derek.
Seriously.
Come on now. Let's have a look at England. Just going back to you mentioned about the goal scorers, you know, in terms of five being enough to win it on many occasions. The other issue, of course, with goal scorers is that you tend to find that your stakes get split a little bit, don't they? Because you know you can get a few finishing on the same amount of goals. But just going back to the last four World Cups in terms of goal scorers. Five in 2006, it was five. Two players shared it in 2010 on five, and in Brazil, 6 won it. So you know, you're right. You know, another goal for Kane, or maybe even two, and that 6-4 would look a good bet. It just seems awfully short for a team who could go out in the next round, of course.
Well, yeah. Well, not only that. When you say five won it in those years, yeah, maybe it did, but you probably wouldn't have had two players after three games on four as well, chasing them. No. You know, it's unlikely that Lukaku and Ronaldo neither of those will score in the next game.
Yeah.
So, a five probably won't be enough to win it, actually. But, you know, Kane, he's a worthy favourite, without question.
Yeah.
You know, like Brazil to win it outright, they're worthy favourites, so is Kane.
Ronaldo scored 8 in 2002, which is one of the highest numbers we've seen in recent times. Just a quick note that we mentioned kind of Golden Boot in conjunction with Top Goal Scorer. For the purposes of this market, it's not the FIFA Golden Boot. You'll love this, Derek, and I hope you don't know this. I hope I'm the first one to break this to you. But the Golden Boot is actually decided if it's level on assists.
Oh, no, Jesus.
So for betting purposes, we don't count that. It's on goals, of course. So if players finish level on goals, dead heat rules apply. If a player doesn't play, settled as a loser. So it's a 50 odds place, 1, 2, 3, if you're betting each way on that. Let's round this off, Derek, with a chat about England. You weren't overly enamoured with them before the tournament. Many people weren't, to be honest with you. They impressed against Tunisia. You will say, I'm sure, and many people did, so they should. They looked excellent against Panama, but they were limited. The intriguing thing is that I think I'm right in saying that Japan are below Panama in the rankings, so we could have won that group and faced a worse team. What about have you been impressed with up until the Belgium game? The kind of the verve and vigour that they showed.
Well, they were good for first 20 minutes of the game against Tunisia, and thereafter it was the England of old, and I couldn't believe the commentary, the pundits and the TV studios afterwards saying, you know, one of the greatest performers from England ever at a World Cup. I'm thinking again, are these guys watching the same game? It's beyond belief. No, they beat Panama 6-1, but it's like, you know, all the talk of England winning the World Cup after those first two games, it's like Everton starting the season beating Bournemouth and Southampton, and then, you know, people saying, no, Everton's going to win the league, and people believe in them. Well, that's as daft as this is. England won't win the World Cup, we know that. The very thought of it turns my stomach, by the way. I can't have...
Why? Why?
I just imagine what this country would be like if England win the World Cup.
What, like happy?
No,
joyous?
Already unbearable. It just takes it a notch further. No,
what would be the worst thing, Derek? What would be the worst thing? If England won the World Cup, what would be the worst thing, do you think? The Union Jacks flying everywhere, or?
Well, yeah, most of them are already out now.
Yeah, yeah.
But you imagine the beer bellies with the England shirts, you know, England, and then their husbands will be even worse. No, I'm sorry, I can't stomach that.
You know, in my mind now, I obviously wanted England to win the World Cup. Now I really want them to win the World Cup, just for that reason. And I'm going to send as many beer-bellied women around to your fat house as I possibly can find in England tops.
You know what? I'm going to be out on Tuesday night, probably in a pub somewhere in Liverpool. I'm going to be wearing my Columbia shirt. I'll get Columbia painted face. I'll get filled in, obviously, but it'll be worth it.
Dear me. To be fair, the red won't matter, then it'll all mix in, won't it? Or the claret. Here are some odds for you, Derek, which, I mean, to reach the semi-finals, 5-4, England. 5-4. To reach the final, 100-30, and to win the tournament, 7-1. Stage of elimination, it's a pick 'em between the last 16 and quarter-finals. It's 7-4. Each of two there. looking at the match market, I mean, people may look at that and think, I'm not sure. Well, you probably want to have a bet on the Colombia-England game at the moment as we record this on Friday morning. Colombia are 27-10, the draw 11-5, and England 11-10. I mean, we haven't talked about Colombia much yet, Derek, and you know, there's a few days to go until that game. We don't know about James Rodriguez, whether he'll be fit or not. They've got some quality players in there. Now, they're a little bit open, and you know, I think we'd probably, as a country, rather play a Colombia than a Sweden, who are much more organised and more like a Premier League game. At Colombia, you do feel like you could probably get amongst them and you could unsettle them a bit, but they've also got players who can win a game from nothing.
Yeah, they have. I mean, you know, England fans are getting worked up because we've only got Colombia in the last 16. But can you imagine what the Colombian fans are thinking? We've only got England in the last 16.
Definitely.
They're already booking their flights or whatever it is, buses to the next venue. No, I think they're all just totally skewed. Is it 2-5 England to qualify, 7-4 Colombia to qualify? I think it must be if it's 7-4 to qualify.
It's 1-2, 6-4. 1-2 England, yeah.
1-2. So instead of backing Colombia to qualify at 6-4, you may as well back England's stage of exit 7-4 in the next round, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like that. I don't think this is on neutral. Those odds would be, if you're playing at Wembley, I'd expect those odds. Not on neutral territory. There's absolutely nothing to choose between these two sides. And I would suggest that Colombia have better individuals. It's almost like whereas Sweden would be a Sam Allardyce team, Colombia would be a Jurgen Klopp team. You know, it's a team that will. Really could entertain you. I don't know. I'd have to be on Colombia because I just think England are absolutely ordinary. We got to the semi-final in Italia 19. You look back at the squad we had then, England had then, and it was sensational, absolutely sensational. You look at this now. You know what? I've come to the conclusion. I've watched this World Cup League so far, and there hasn't been a great team. We know that. Brazil may be, you know, they seem to be playing within themselves. But whoever wins this World Cup, I've got a feeling that if you put them in the Premier League next season, they'd finish fifth. there's nothing there. The Champions League is a far better standard than anything I've seen in Russia this summer.
You do tend to find, though, I mean, I think maybe we always do this, after the group stages, you kind of think, yeah, there's nothing in this. And then suddenly the good teams do start to go through the gears a little bit more, and the better team players start to raise the game. It's about going through a tournament. I'm not saying we're going to see sensational football from here on in, but you'd expect the likes of Brazil, maybe Spain, Argentina, to start to up their game. Look, Uruguay are playing within themselves as well, it seems. Don't they? They're a very solid team. They're almost like a bit like an Atletico Madrid Uruguay, aren't they? Where they've got players to win the game, but they're dogged. You know, you're not going to get much out of it. In terms of bets on the Colombia-England game, 6-5, both teams to score looks a decent one as well, Derek. You know, neither defence is particularly sure, is it, for Colombia or England? And to get a price like 6-5 about both teams to score bet, yes, looks decent.
Yeah. I'd have thought that would have been odds on 10-11 with both teams to score in that game. It does look nailed on, and especially the thing about this World Cup is that the number of goals that shouldn't have been with VAR. Don't get me started on that VAR. You know, the number of goals and penalty decisions and so on. There's always seems to be goals, even in the tightest of games, even in games that after 60 minutes look nailed on 0-0. There'll be a late penalty from a catastrophic decision by the ref or VAR or both. So, yeah, both teams to score in this World Cup is looking a decent bet when you're getting odds against for it.
I'm just looking to see if there's a VAR, your odds. And surely at some point someone must request. This is where you tweet at William Hill and you can ask for your own bet, effectively, with the hashtag your odds. VAR to decide the World Cup final. Surely someone's got to ask for that to be put in there.
Yeah, I'm sure your odds compilers will come up with that. Who's had the worst World Cup, VAR or Germany?
England, this is the biggest price one we've got on the website at the minute. This is 1,000-1. England to beat Belgium 4-2 in the World Cup final, and both Kane and Rashford to score in the final 90 minutes only. 1,000-1. There's loads of them on there, ranging from odds on right up to that 1,000-1. So go and have a look at those if you want to check out a few interesting bets. Derek, thank you very much for your time. Well done so far on Germany, first of all. Big tick in the book for that one. And we're going to monitor Croatia and Sweden with interest. I actually pulled Sweden out in two sweepstakes, which is incredible, right? The odds on that. So I'm all with you. I'm behind you. I thought that was a kiss of death for them, but neither you nor I could knock them out of the group stages. So we'll both be cheering them on when they play England in the quarterfinals, of course.
You're right.
So thank you to Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern, who you've just heard from.
I'm Alex Dunn. You're about to hear a little more from me. I caught up with John Gibby to look ahead to the first of the last 16 games. It is France against Argentina.
Alex, this is what I would call the disappointment derby based on the performances of these two teams so far in the World Cup.
I tell you what is disappointing. It's disappointing that you get to the last 16 of a tournament like this and then you sort of think, but there's not many games left.
Yeah, exactly.
And there really isn't.
Time-wise, there's still quite a while to go. But in terms of the games, you know, the days of four matches per day are come and gone.
It's a pipe dream. These are two sides, France and Argentina, who before the tournament you could have panned this out as being, obviously maybe not with the draw, but you wouldn't have been surprised if this was a semi-final, say, quality-wise, or at least reputation-wise, shall we say. I don't think Argentina were really expecting to do much in the competition, and they haven't, quite simply. France have been absolutely woeful, though, and it's been glossed under because Germany have been knocked out, so people focus on them.
And because they haven't lost as well.
Because they've not lost a game, because they never looked like they were in any danger of not qualifying. But they have been rank. Going through that group, that should have been an absolute procession, but they laboured to a win against Australia and had a little bit of luck along the way as well. They were unimpressive against Peru. And the Denmark game was just a non-event, to be honest. So it is difficult to really make a case for France here as favourites, I think. Now, Argentina, obviously, they were okay but not great against Iceland. They were humiliated against Croatia. And against Nigeria, they were okay again, I'd say. Not devastating performances, but eventually getting the job done.
They were a bit ropey against Nigeria, weren't they? It wasn't one of those two ones where you always knew what was going to happen in the end.
Well, I thought against Iceland, I watched the first game that they played, and I thought that they actually looked pretty lively going forward, defensively a little bit suspect. But it was more the fact that Iceland defended really well that I thought frustrated Argentina more than anything. Against Nigeria, it was more, right, we're getting outplayed for sections of this.
Yeah.
I thought Higuain coming in would be a huge bonus for Argentina. And it wasn't. He looked slow. He looked old. He didn't look up to the task. Whereas compare that to Aguero, who even when he's a bit off form, off colour, is still buzzing around and busy. I know they're very different players, but it'll be very interesting to see the team that is selected for this game.
And did you expect Aguero to start?
Personally, I'd put him in. I don't think he will.
Right.
I say he could be anyone, because we don't know who's picking the Argentina team at the minute. It could be Sampaoli, it could be Messi, it could be Maradona. We just don't know. It could be absolutely anyone. There's been a lot of talk that Messi has been picking the team. If that's the case, he clearly likes Higuain, because he's gone for it straight away, and he likes someone who can take a bit of the pressure off him by being a focal point of the attack.
But also, you can say what you like about, you know, the game against Nigeria, but he's something's happened with the squad, whether that's him picking the team or what, we don't know, but something's happened that's helped him come alive.
Yeah, well, again, he got a lot of flack after the first round of games because Cristiano Ronaldo scored 3 goals against Spain and Lionel Messi missed a penalty against Iceland. And on the bare face of it, that is devastating. But actually, Ronaldo didn't influence that game against Spain all that much. Scored a beautiful free kick, but otherwise was pretty peripheral, to be honest, which is amazing because he got a hat-trick, but didn't do loads. Messi was doing everything for Argentina. I thought he was great against Iceland. I'm going to stick up for him here. And people go, oh, but he's rubbish, he didn't do this. Well, he didn't have the end product, but everything else he did was great. Now, his goal against Nigeria, people may go, yeah, you're just getting excited about it because it was Messi. It was perfect. In terms of, you could not ask for 3 more perfect touches of a football. From the position he was in, lovely ball over the top, but to kill it with his thigh, move it away from the defender, and then finish on his wrong foot is full marks, 10 out of 10. Nobody can argue with that. And he is going to have to be at his best here. He's going to have to be. Now, ultimately, there are two bets that I like here. One is short. It's under 2.5 goals. It's 4-9. But
that is short.
It is, but I think it's deservedly short because France are just so uninspiring.
And the other one, which is bigger, is draw and under 2.5 goals, 23-10. First knockout game, I think this could go the distance.
This is in 90 minutes, we should say.
Yes. Yeah. I think this could go the distance, though. I think this could go to extra time and possibly penalties as well.
What if you do, then?
Trappy and cagey, and I wouldn't like to go either way. Well, I would, actually, because I don't think France are the value. What were you saying then, John? Sorry.
I was going to say, if you think it's going to go to penalties, mm-hmm. my question here is, it's 9-2 for the match to go to penalties.
Yeah.
Right, but two teams to win on penalties are both 10-1. Mm. Why not back both teams to win on penalties?
Yeah.
And that's a much better bet than backing the match to go to penalties at 9-2, surely.
Yeah. Like, obviously, it can lose.
Yeah, but...
But do you see what I mean?
The price... Yeah.
It should be fives.
Yes.
Yes. Or, yes. No, I agree. Look at that. We found a...
Tactics.
Found a problem. I think it'll be dull. I think it'll be niggly. I've been so disappointed with France.
Yeah.
So disappointed.
They've been poor. To be honest, I hold my hands up. They were my ideas of the winners coming into this competition, and they have done absolutely nothing to vindicate that view.
But they're not even... You look at Portugal in the Euros. They managed to somehow get through to the final and then win it. They did that by being quite nasty, and yes, they messed up a bit in the groups, but they managed to dig themselves out of a few holes. France aren't even... They're sort of so passive, it's ridiculous.
But Portugal in that Euros were just playing such a boring brand of football where they would just, you know, sit back, wait for the opening. With France, you know, for me, they're not playing a boring brand of football. They just don't look... They've got great players. They've got a great squad. It just looks like they don't gel together very well.
It's just odd. And they've played so many variations of teams as well in the three games. They've made plenty of changes. I mean, you look at the game against Denmark the other day was a huge chance for some players to shine, and they didn't. Thomas Lemar was awful. Dembele hasn't done it for me in this tournament yet. Mbappe came off the bench. He didn't get long, but he's not really done it for me yet. Griezmann's a threat, but again, we're going more on reputation than what he's done in this tournament so far. Giroud's a focal point, but he needs to add a few goals to the game. Look, it's uninspiring at the minute. To watch France. So I would side with Argentina as a price play, but ultimately I think draw and unders is the way to go here. I think it could go the distance.
Welcome to France, a nation that can boast the shortest reigning monarch of all time. Louis XIX was king for just 20 minutes. He ascended to the throne in July 1830 after Charles X abdicated, and then abdicated himself 20 minutes later in favour of his nephew, the Duke of Bordeaux. The French army was the first to use camouflage back in World War I in 1915. Roughly translated, it means makeup for the stage. We can thank the French for some unbelievable inventions: tin cans, braille, the stethoscope, and the etch-a-sketch. The first public cinema was brought to us by Auguste and Louis Lumière back in 1895. They showed 10 50-second films. And let's finish with wine. In 2014, a 114-bottle lot of Romane Conti wines were sold in Hong Kong for more than €1.45 million. That works out at €1,619 per glass.
Now, we've got a real clash coming up on Saturday evening. It's Uruguay against Portugal, less affectionately known, of course, as the shithouse derby.
I mean, Uruguay started out pretty disappointing and grew into it, and their last performance was the best. Portugal, despite the fact they only drew the first game against Spain, they sort of regressed through the group stage.
A little bit, yeah. I'm going to go out there now, and I'm going to put my neck on the line, and I'm going to say... I have been very, very underwhelmed by Uruguay. That group was appalling.
Yeah.
And if they hadn't have got 9 points from it, questions would have been asked. And they haven't impressed me at all so far. I've been really disappointed with them. I've backed two of their players in Cavani and Suarez for the Golden Boot because I thought in the groups they would make hay, and they haven't.
Not even with the spanking of Russia in the final group stage game.
No. I thought they were good for 20 minutes. That's about all. No, not for me. Not at all. Now, Yeah, I mean, you look at who they were against. They were awful against Egypt. Egypt, who ended up with no points, and who lost to Saudi Arabia. They then only just beat Saudi Arabia. Did Uruguay. Not... I've just been so disappointed in them. Now, you compare that to Portugal, who livened things up against Spain, I think it's fair to say.
Great game.
It was the game of the tournament to this point. But, yeah, as you said, against Morocco and Iran, things got a little bit tighter, a little bit more niggly, a little bit more Portugal, to be honest. And this game is going to be absolutely brilliant for fans of...
We know the word you want to use.
I can't say it, can I? But just any kind of winding up, any kind of kicking, of biting, possibly. It's happened before.
Who knows?
Yeah. It is going to be an absolute feast of nasty, nasty people being nasty to one another. And if that's your bag, then great. I think it is my bag, to be honest. I like a nice game of football as much as the next person, but every now and again you want a real match where you know that they are going to get stuck into one another. And yes, by, you know, the 80-minute mark, you're probably going to go, all right, lads, will you stop rolling around on the floor now? We've had enough of that, you know. But at the same time, I mean, if there was a market for a number of players on floor, it's one of those games.
It's a one where you want to play the discipline market, surely.
Definitely, you've got to back cards. Now, there's no markets as we record these because we're doing these in advance. But nearer the time, you've got to be backing cards, surely. Backing players to get booked any time, whatever it is that you can get. I couldn't put you off any of them, to be honest. Now, one thing that I did notice about Uruguay in the group stages was the lack of corners that they had, because in games that you expect a team to dominate, it can often pay to back them on corners because, well, they're having all of the ball and it's normally in the opposition's half. But they had five against Egypt, which is respectable. It's okay. It's probably slightly below par. Egypt had none, incidentally, in that game. Against Saudi Arabia, Uruguay actually had less corners than Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia had four, Uruguay had three, which is pretty appalling, really. Now, I know that you don't play a game to win on the corners. And similarly, in the game against Russia, four corners for Uruguay, two for Russia. So the most corners they've had in a game so far is seven. Bear in mind, the spread is normally 11, 10. Mm. Unders on the corners seems quite nice, to be honest. Or you could just back Portugal most corners, which is 17 to 20. Don't mind that at all. So there's one way in.
Very creative.
Also, unders on the goals. That goes without saying. Uruguay yet to concede. That's the thing I do like about them. Diego Godin has got his troops well and truly marshalled. But again, I don't think they've come up against any kind of attacking threat yet. Let's not forget, when they played Egypt, Mo Salah wasn't available. When they played Saudi Arabia, no one of any talent was available. And when they played Russia, it was sort of a bit after the Lord Mayor's show for Russia, after their two great games earlier. It was a little bit underwhelming, to be fair. I think they got overwhelmed in the end. So under 2.5, 4-9, short, but rightly so. Under 1.5 is 11-8. Similar market to one that I put up in the France-Argentina game, actually. A draw on under 2.5 goals is 21-10. I could see this one going to extra time. But one bet I do like, Portugal to qualify, even money. I just think they're going to do it. I've backed them for the tournament outright because I think that they'll do what they did in the
Since
Euros.
Since it started, you have your back them?
Yes, I backed them right at the very beginning.
Right.
Just because they have that way of winning. They're not the best team in the world. But you don't need to be to win this competition. You just need to have the wherewithal to sneak a 1-0 win every now and again in extra time. That could happen here. So Portugal for me to qualify, even money. The draw and under 2.5 in the 90 minutes markets, 21-10 I like. But under 2.5 goals, by the way, I mentioned the corners. Under 2.5 goals and under 10 corners in this match, 5-4. You've got to go down on the console. It is there.
Yeah.
It's the goals times corners market. But yeah, I just think back that, back cards, overs on the cards, unders on the goals, unders on the corners. Enjoy yourselves.
There you go. It's a creative ways in to this game between Uruguay and Portugal in the 2018 World Cup. Two sides who haven't played each other since 1972 take each other on in a round of 16 tie in Russia. We look forward to that one very much.
The World Cup with William Hill.
We're live for every second of the tournament with in-play stats, best bets and updates from our World Cup reporters. Listen and bet at williamhill.com or on the app.
The World Cup on in-play radio.
Thanks for tuning in then to this William Hill World Cup podcast. There's plenty more to come through the next, what, fortnight or so. So make sure you keep tuning in. Plenty more previews are coming your way. I've been Alex Dunn. This has been the William Hill World Cup podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.